It's wonderful to be here. Many years ago, I was an actor in New York City. I did not know the Lord, and after a time, I really wanted to know if you could know God. I actually came to this theater here for the Tony Awards years before this was a Broadway, this was a church. And I was lost. I didn't know the Lord. Somebody took me to a meeting similar to this. And when I walked in there, these people were worshiping Jesus, and it seemed like it was every tribe and tongue and race. And as I walked in, all of a sudden, I couldn't stand up. And I collapsed on my knees. I didn't know what was happening to me. I'll tell you this, I was searching for God. And as I knelt, everyone else was just singing and having a good time, it looked like, and I'm there crying like a baby. And the guy that brought me wondered, what happened to him? And as I wept, I looked up and I met Jesus. He's all light. He is all beauty. He is all perfection. He is all holy. And I was dirty and I knew it. And I told him I was sorry. This was all going on in my heart. An amazing thing happened. He forgave me. I knew it. I knew it. And it was like this huge weight, like a huge rock, was lifted off of me. And the guilt and the shame were gone. And I had become a new person and had the life of Jesus streaming into me. What amazed me about him was that he loved me. My father was dead. My mother was dead. I'd lost a brother in war. And I didn't have much, I didn't have family in New York. But in that meeting, as I finally recovered and tried to figure out what was happening to me, I sat down and I looked around at all the faces, all the different races, and I knew that I had come home. I was at home with brothers and sisters. I realized that I had a new family. This is what I'd been looking for. And as I started to walk with Jesus and talk to him and read his words, I was overwhelmed. Why hadn't anyone told me about his words? I mean, I knew some of them. I knew about Jesus. Everybody knows it. But I didn't know you could know him. And when I met him, everything changed. I wanted adventure too, like John was here. I was doing Broadway plays and all that kind of thing. But as I came into the kingdom of God and the family of God, not only did I meet Jesus, what happens to you is like Jesus takes you to the Father. If you know me, Jesus said, you'll know the Father. And I needed a father. My father was dead. And I know many of you probably never didn't know your father, or maybe you live in a home with a single mom or whatever your situation is. But Jesus reveals to us our Heavenly Father. And I read, what manner of love is this? The love of the Father was just drenching me, overwhelmingly, that I had a Father, a perfect Father, the creator of the universe, who loved me. He spoke everything into creation. And then he came down and lived in my heart. And as I learned about the Father, the scripture says, what manner of love is this? That our Father would endow us, would pour out on us all of this blessing and love. And I was moving into the Father's love. And I read in the scripture, Jesus was telling a story, a parable. And Jesus said there was a man who had two sons, and one of the sons went off and ran away and took his inheritance, fell among all kinds of, did all kinds of bad things, ran out of money, nobody cared about him, was eating garbage, and all his clothes were falling apart. And the prodigal son says, well, I'm going to go back to my father. And he assumed that the father would discipline him, be angry at him. But the scripture says this, while the boy was still a long way off, the father saw him, and the father felt compassion for him. Not only that, the father ran out to the boy and hugged him and said, put a ring on his finger, give him new clothes, give him new shoes, start a barbecue, a steak, we're going to have a party. This, my son, was dead, is now alive. And when I read that, I knew it was me. I realized the Father is looking for his children. What manner of love is that our Father should make us children of God. We are. If you know Jesus and walk with him, you're the child of God. It's just wonderful, wonderful. Once I realized this, all I could do was serve him, and the adventures were incredible. Reaching people on the streets here when Times Square Church started down at the Niederlander on 41st Street, all those days. Then Karen and I were sent out from this very place. Hands were laid on. We were shot out to Israel 24 years ago. As we got to Israel, we went there to start a drug rehab for Jews and Arabs. And everybody there that we talked to said, who are you working with, Jews or Arabs? I said, both. They said, you don't know what you're talking about. This has been the longest running family feud for 4,000 years between Ishmael and Isaac. You don't know what you're walking into. And he said, you can't work with these people. Would say, these are Christians. They were saying to me, you can't work with Jews and Arabs. And I said, I know I can't. But he can. And I don't believe in the wisdom of men so much anymore. I have faith in the power of God. The scripture says Jesus broke down the wall of division between Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Arabs. He has broken down the wall so we can all become the family of God. And that's who we are. She's a Jew. I'm not a Jew, but we are one because of Jesus, because he broke down the wall of division. Amen. So when we hit Israel, we want adventure. Well, the Soviet Union collapsed and 1 million Russian Jews were coming. There were Russians everywhere. Not only that, a war broke out in the Middle East, and Saddam Hussein, the tyrant ruler of Iraq, was firing missiles at Haifa. So we wanted an adventure. We're running through the night, putting on our gas mask. The mountain is shaking. Explosions are going off. One night we were locked out of our bomb shelter. I said, put on a gas mask. Pray, pray. In come these missiles. We saw one of them. The Americans had sent Patriot missiles out there to help Israel. We saw a Patriot missile go off, the whole mountain shook, knocked it out of the sky over the hospital, and we're standing there saying, God, save Israel. You're the love of the Father. We, you know, Lord, we came here to help drug addicts. We didn't know this was going to happen. But listen, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them who love him. He has laid out, the Father has prepared a life for you that if you'll come to Jesus and just say, I want to be your child, the doors open, the friendships. I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So when the war was over, we got this old building. It was a miracle that we got. We didn't have any money, but we got a great old building. We started bringing drug addicts in, Arabs and Jews. And you know what? For 22 years, God has set free hundreds of Arabs and Jews living in the same building tonight. There's Arabs and Jews in the same building. One of these boys' name is Jihad. You know what Jihad means? Well, you go home and Google it. Jihad means trouble for people that disagree with us. That's one way to put it. So Jihad met Jesus, and he wasn't angry at Jews anymore or angry at Christians. He became one. So Jihad fell in love with Jesus. He changed his name to John. So I said, Jihad, you need to write a book, From Jihad to John. When it comes out, I'll tell you about it. Jihad's roommate is the son of a rabbi. Hello, rabbi? You know what a rabbi is? So we got sons of rabbis and we got ex-Muslims and people like that living together. And they all fall, when they fall in love with Jesus, they meet the Father. Amen. When a Muslim meets the Father and realizes the Son died, it's overwhelming. When a Jew realizes that Jesus is the Son of God and their Messiah and died for them, it's overwhelming. So they have the love of the Father. It's wonderful. Let me give you an example. A Jewish kid was living on the streets of Haifa, where we live. He was a drug addict when he was a teenager. But his mother became a believer in our congregation. So the whole church was praying for this guy, this kid. And he had to go before a judge, and he had been in jail, and he was about to go in jail again. And everybody was praying for him. And the judge says, I don't know why I'm saying this, But if you don't want to go to jail, I know you don't, you could go to this place called House of Victory. The judge is a secular judge, not religious. So this kid comes to House of Victory. He was 20 by this time. And he's looking for his father because his father had abandoned him. He knew his mother, and the mother, we were all praying, and the mother was praying. So he comes into this place, and he went, "What is this?" And all of a sudden, after a couple of days, he meets Jesus, and he gets to know the Father. The Father, he realized, we have a video, he testified, the Father was running out to him, and he found his child. And that's what God wants to do. He wants children that love him. His children, many children disobey him and walk away from him, and they get into darkness and all kinds of problems. But he's running out to us saying, I love you. I want to talk to you. I want to hug you. I want to give you the life that I prepared for you. But we have to come through Jesus, who's the perfect sacrifice for this sinner's sins. Hallelujah. You know what happened to this fellow that came to the Lord? He's now our youth pastor. Yeah. He's on fire for the Lord. He's in demand all over Israel. He's so anointed. He can so preach about Jews and Arabs coming together. Now, his name's Eliel. So Eliel meets this young German lady who comes out to work with us. And they come to me and say, "We're in love." I said to her, "You go talk to Karen." I said, "You come and talk to me. Tell me how you met about us." And so we realized they were in love. She's a German. He's a Jew. You know anything about the history of Germany? And they killed 6 million Jews. And it's hard for Jews today to forgive Germans. So Eliel falls in love with, her name's Lydia. We had a wedding in our congregation up at the top of Mount Carmel that we built, and many people from Times Square Church came and helped us build it. The wedding was in Hebrew and German. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a wedding in Hebrew and German. But they are the one new man of Jew and Gentile built together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. And they know the love of the Father. We have a ministry now that they are the head of. And German students, your age, German Christian teenagers, they come to Israel. They live with people in our congregation and another congregation. They bond with our kids, our young people. They hear, you know, what we teach and so on. And they become real friends. And it's called, the ministry is called Yad B'Yad, which means hand in hand. So this ministry, then the young people go in the summertime usually. Then they go to Germany. They're involved with a couple of churches in Germany. And they're German believers and young Jews. And they're mingling Germans and Jews in the church. Then they all get on a bus and they go to the concentration camp at Auschwitz. Auschwitz, 10,000 Jews were killed every day. Children, 1.5 million Jewish children died in the Holocaust. And here are this German boy, Jewish boy, walking hand in hand, looking at all the shoes of the children that were left there. And you know that you hear the horrors of what happened. And they're carrying an Israeli flag and a German flag. And they walk together through the horrors. They come out at the end. They're hugging each other. The shame has broke off the German. The love of God, forgiveness comes on the Jews. They start worshiping the Lord, and the glory of the Lord comes down on them and bonds them. Listen, it's the love of the Father. God can really do a work in your life if you come to Him and you say, "I want to know this love. I needed to know the love of God." When the love of God comes on me and I experience it, I mean, I walk in it all the time, it's just overwhelming. That how could He love somebody like me? And He's saying the same thing to you tonight. Your eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard. Your heart has not conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. He has this amazing life ready for you if you'll simply walk with Him. We walked out of here and went to Israel. Now, it's not easy. We walk through the fire. You know the story of the three Israeli children who were taken captive and kidnapped from Israel, went to Baghdad. We're in what is today Iraq. We're in Babylon. The king built this huge golden pillar. And everybody had to bow down to this king and to this idol. And they played, all the musicians came, the whole nation came. And the king said, if you don't bow down to this idol and fall on your face when we play all this music and worship through this music, and worship me, the king, we will throw you in this burning, fiery furnace. The whole nation, they all bowed down and worshiped this king. But word came to the king, these three young Jews from Israel, they won't do it. They took a stand for God in the midst of horrors, in the midst of dangers, in the midst of the there's idolatry all over the world out there. You turn on the television, you'll see it. There's idolatry of people are idolizing sex, they're idolizing drugs, alcohol, women, men, whatever it happens to be. They're not worshiping the Lord. But when you say, I am not going to bow down to that stuff, I will trust God. And they said to the king's face, we trust our God. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down to this garbage. So he was furious. He said, heat that thing up seven times more. They tied them all up in their clothes. They were all bound up in their clothes, these three young guys. Taking a stand against the darkness and the evil and the immorality of their age like we need to. They threw them in the fire. They're down there in the fire. They're walking around in the fire with all their clothes tied up. They're all tied up. And the king looks down there and says, what is this? There's four people in there. I thought we threw three in there. Look, that one looks like the Son of God. Bring him out of there. They brought him out. Nothing was singed. They had not been taught. Jesus walked through the fire with them. Amen. And listen to me, young people. He'll walk through the fire with you. Whatever you are going through, he will take you through the fire. But you need to hold out your hand and say, I won't bow down to this stuff. I want you. And he'll take you through your trials. He'll take you through the difficulties, whatever. I have seen such miracles of drug addicts getting set free, Arabs loving Jews. And it's because Jesus is in the fire with all these young people. And he's in the fire with you. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you need to have your relationship with Jesus refired? I mean, you really want to be set on fire for the Lord. Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you don't, if you don't know him, you want to be set on fire for the Lord, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seats and come right down here. And I'm going to pray, and Jesus will meet you in the fire. So come on down here. Let's go. Stand up. If you want more of the fire of God, more of the fire of the Holy Spirit, fire of the love of God, come on here, and he's going to give it to you. He's just looking for people that are hungry for him. God is good. All the time. We serve a good God. He's in the midst of all the problems. He knows what you're going through. The Father wants to say, son, daughter. He wants you to be able to look up in his eyes and realize, I have a Father who loves me. A perfect Father who created me and sent Jesus to die for me, that I might be a child of God. What manner of love is this? That we should be endowed with the love of God, to be children of God. I'm a child of God. I hope you are. There's nothing greater. You can talk to your Father. And listen, when you talk to Jesus, his computers are never down. He always answers. When you open up his word in the New Testament, we read it every morning. Oh, we were reading the word today. God just talks to us. Isn't it amazing that God, the creator of the world, would want to talk to you and you and you personally? The Holy One who inhabits eternity He also lives in the humble heart. He wants to take up residence and live in your heart so you know him personally. Amen? Do you want that? Hallelujah. I think you do. Lord, I pray for this young man right now that the love of God will stream into his heart. He will know that you are true, you're real. You brought him here tonight to meet you. Thank you, Father. Put your Father's arms around him. Run out to him. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. It's just an act of surrender. We need to just say, I don't want my old life. I want to surrender to the new, exciting life of walking with Jesus. Jesus, I pray for every one of these young people that they will come to know you as their loving Father. And let's pray this prayer together. Let's speak it out of your heart. Mean it from your heart. Jesus, help me to know you, to love you, to receive your love. Forgive all my sin. I want to be clean. I want to be holy. I want to leave the old stuff and reach out for the new. Jesus, let it be yad by yad, you and me hand in hand. Help me through the fire. Take me to the Father. Father, I'm your child because of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for the greatest gift. Salvation. Fullness of life. Reigning in life, victory in life now. This is the God we serve. Hallelujah. Now, never forget to thank God. Let's thank you. Hallelujah. Pastor Patrick. I knew Patrick many, 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 many years ago before he was a pastor. And to see what God has done in his life, I come back here and it thrills me. Listen, I have spiritual sons and daughters all over Mount Carmel. Arabs, Jews, Ethiopians, Lebanese. They call me Father. But I know the Father, amen? You need to know the Father, praise God. And I'm ministering here on Sunday, and we're going back Tuesday. I can't wait to see my children back when I get back to Israel. But the children of God, it's so wonderful to talk to young people. Listen, I didn't know God when I was your age. And when I met him, I felt I wasted so much. No one ever told me, but now you know. You can change things. I mean, you can have impact on that. People don't just pressure you to go do the junk of the world, but that they're drawn to the Jesus in you and say, I want what you have. And there can be a whole movement of youth all over the New York City area that would be fabulous. God bless you.
Would you pray with me right now for a movement of youth, for God to do something in this generation? Lord, we do pray right now. We take a moment and we remember our friends. We remember our coworkers, our neighbors. Lord, we've got family members that don't know you, Jesus, cousins. Lord, we've got nephews, nieces, brothers and sisters. We just pray for them right now. Oh, God, would you visit them? Would you pour out your spirit on them? We ask, would you put your loving arms around them? Lord, that they would see your love. Let them see your love in our lives. Let them see your heart in our lives. Let them see the change in our lives. We pray that our lives would be such a great advertisement for Jesus. Lord, that you would be exalted, that you would be lifted up. You said if you're lifted up, you would draw others to yourself. Be lifted up through our lives. Come on, you raise your voice. You ask him to use you. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you for embracing us. Thank you for loving us. Now make us channels, conduits of that love to this generation, Lord, that this generation would know that you are real, that you are alive. thank you for what you're going to do in and through us. Lord, we honor you tonight. We yield ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, take complete control. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for healing hearts tonight here in this place. Lord, thank you for showing us your love. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Come on, say thank you. Bless him tonight. Begin to thank him, Lord, as we heard tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, put people in our paths that we can share your love with. Open doors for us, Lord. Show us opportunities. I pray that our hearts would beat a million miles an hour, that we would know, that we know in our gut that this is it. This is the moment. This is what we've been looking for. This is what we've been waiting for. Open doors for us to be able to share your goodness, your love with other people. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. I've got to tell you, the moment I understood that God loved me, my goodness, years and years of pain, emptiness, rejection, anger, hate, frustration, it all just washed away. It was like somebody just flushed the toilet and all that junk went out and the love of God came in. Hallelujah. It was just amazing. And so I want to encourage you, just keep basking in his love. Just keep, stay sensitive to his presence, and he will wrap his arms around you, and he's going to continue to show you that he's there with you at school, at work, at home, wherever you are. He's going to show you you are not alone. I don't care how rough your neighborhood is, you are not alone. You've got the God of the universe on your side. Come on. I said, come on. Hallelujah. And if God is for you, who can be against you?